go before breaking Holy Week, we are given by the church the precious and life-giving cross. Not just as a signpost for where we're headed to breaking Holy Friday and then breaking Holy Pascha, but really the reminder that the cross is the very center of the Christian life, indeed the very center of all of creation. There's no Christianity without Christ, and there's no Christ without the cross. Not any old cross, but the cross that Christ himself bore. This morning I thought that we could reflect a little bit on this theme of the cross from the very beautiful sermon that St. Gregory Palamas gives us on, that he delivered on this third Sunday in the middle of the 14th century. St. Gregory focuses his attention on what he calls the mystery of the cross. And the mystery of the cross isn't simply the cross that Christ was crucified on some 2,000 years ago. That was the revelation and manifestation in time of what the Son of God is from all eternity. We're told in the book of Revelation that Christ is the Lamb who was slain from the very foundation of the world. And so this revelation to us in time some 2,000 years ago is a revelation to us of what God is truly like. The mystery of the cross is for St. Gregory the revelation. He calls it quite clearly a revelation. The cross is revealed to us, but even more strongly is revealed within us. The mystery of the cross is the revelation of the cross within each and every person. And he describes this in his homily to us, teaches us about this mystery, by going through the different verses of the Old Testament, where he emphasizes the cross hadn't yet occurred in time. And yet from the time of Adam and Eve, focusing on especially Abraham and Moses, but mentioning many of the figures of the Old Testament, how it is that this cross is manifested within their life. This is the mystery of the cross, revealed within each and every one of us. And this mystery comes in two parts, he says. The first is expressed by St. Paul's words when he says to the Galatians, the world is crucified to me. The world's dead to me. This is illustrated especially by the life of Abraham. God called Abraham to leave his country, his home, the place of his security and his comfort. He said, come and go to a place that I will show you. Not that I'll give you, not that you'll own, not that you'll possess, but a place that will be revealed to you. And so this departure from the secure and the familiar and the comfortable for Abraham is an image of dying to, of the world being dead to us. We don't look to the things of the world as being the source of life. And this is really what it means. That the world has been crucified to us means I do not look to the things of this world to give me what only God can give. God alone is the source of life. Everything else is dead as being a viable giver of life. We cling to so many different things in this world as providing for us comfort and encouragement and support and even physical life. But St. Gregory asks us to, following St. Paul, following the words of our Lord, to not look to the creation for what only the Creator can give us. So in tangible ways, we get anxious and worried and nervous about things that we eat. We turn to food for comfort, or we turn to the internet and browsing and movies and distractions or alcohol or drugs. Sometimes we turn to things that are really self-destructive, but other times we turn to things that are certainly good and given to us by God. But we do it in a way that has a kind of inner compulsion, that we're looking for something in the things of this world that they can't provide. And so the first aspect what St. Gregory calls the first mystery of the cross, is that the world has been crucified to us. We no longer look to it just as a matter of volition, as a matter of will. We see it not as the source of life. Then he says there's a second mystery of the cross, and it's expressed to us by the very same verse, the rest of the verse that St. Paul wrote to the Galatians. He says, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world is crucified, the world is dead. It's not the source of life, but I've been crucified to the world. What does that mean? This is the second mystery. It means that all of those desires that are within us, all of those yearnings, all of those longings, all of the thoughts that we have in our head that look to the world for its salvation, those are now dead. It's one thing to say, I choose not to go to food or the internet or to alcohol or to obsessions with exercise, whatever it might be, as a source of life, but I still have those yearnings, those longings, those desires. In fact, typically, when we try to cut off ourselves from a certain type of activity that we are inappropriately looking to, we find those inner desires get stronger. We yearn all of the more. A certain kind of addiction. So St. Gregory says in the first mystery, it's revealed to us that these things in the world, the created things, can't give us what the Creator, only the Creator can give us. We need to cut ourselves off from those. We need to leave the land of this world and look to the promised land. But we're still going to have all of those desires and yearnings for the things of this world. We're still going to be distracted by the thoughts that are in our head. And so the second mystery of the cross is the death of all of those things within us that are looking in the wrong places. It's not just cutting ourselves off from them, but having a sort of inner surgery, a divine surgery take place, that those desires and longings and passions, destructive thoughts are no longer operative in us. The image that he uses here, especially from the Old Testament, is Moses before the burning bush, standing on holy ground. He's to take off his sandals because you're on holy ground. And the sandals represent this fleshliness, this passion. And we need to have this direct and unmediated contact with God, not mediated by our passions and lusts and desires and thoughts. So how does this happen? The crux, the core of his comments to us is in explaining in very practical ways how it is that we become crucified to the world. How is it that we no longer have those desires and yearnings for the things that can't give life? Well, he starts out by saying that the only way that can happen is by having this vision of God like Moses had at the burning bush. Only God can burn those desires up. We can't do it ourselves. They need to be, as it were, divinely rooted out. How do we get this vision of God, this contemplation of God? And theoria uses, theoria to theu. This experience like Moses had in the burning bush on Mount Sinai, like the holy apostles had on the Mountain of Transfiguration. Well, there's three steps, he says. The first step is the practical life, the ascetic life. We simply do what it is that Orthodox emphasize all the time, especially during this time of Great Lent. We engage in acts of mercy and kindness toward other people, and we do that in secret. We engage in intensified prayer life, and we do that also in secret, and we fast, and we do that in secret. Maybe we stay up at night a little bit and keep vigil like our Lord instructs, or we read the Holy Scriptures reflectively and meditatively, spiritual reading. We engage ourselves in these ascetic efforts. This is where it begins. But those things in and of themselves don't guarantee any particular result. Lots of people can engage in all kinds of ascetic effort, become very disciplined in being a great sports figure, a great composer, or even a great moral person. But St. Gregory says that the second aspect of this is once we place ourselves into this sort of spiritual gymnasium, so to speak, he says we go on a search. And what we're doing is searching within us for the hidden treasure. The treasure is the kingdom of God that's tucked away deep within us, buried under layers of desires and passions and distractions. And so the ascetic effort that we engage in our life, in and of itself, won't bear the fruit that St. Gregory calls us to experience unless we go on this search, this inner search, that our attention is focused on what's happening within us. Maybe we're doing a few extra prostrations and we're not motivated to do them. Maybe we're distracted while we're in our prayer toward vainglorious thoughts or worries and anxieties about the state of things in the world. Maybe we find ourselves envious of other people's stature in life or in the church. When we place ourselves in these ascetic efforts, St. Gregory says, if we look inside, if we're on this search, we're going to be longing to find where in us is that kingdom, that hidden treasure. Then he says a third thing, which is that we, in the context of this search, we have to meditate. Mediti, it's a word that means like an intense study or meditation, reflection on these things that we're experiencing, that we're searching for and finding as we explore our inner life. The same word, the verb, is used in the word in the first psalm. And blessed is the man who walks not in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, nor stands in the path of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, or on his law he studies day and night. It's this intense focus. So again, St. Gregory directs our attention not only on this search, but in this sort of gathered mental capacity on what we're experiencing in our life. It's very much like Father Roman's exploring the inner universe. We can spend all of our time exploring the things around us, but in those things we won't find true life. Where we'll find life is in the cross that's residing within us. The mystery of the cross is precisely finding this cross. That's the buried treasure deep within our hearts. So St. Gregory tells us that if we're on this path of ascetic effort, searching within us, and meditating, reflecting on what it is that we are discovering, learning, finding about our inner life, he says it will arise in us a certain warmth. And what he has in mind is precisely the warmth of the burning bush. That we will come to experience in our own kind of existential way what Moses experienced at the burning bush. We'll stand on holy ground. Our sandals will come off. Those desires, those longings, those passions, those distracting thoughts. Our inability to control our desires, but rather finding ourselves being controlled by them. All of that will start to dissipate in the presence of this gentle warmth. He doesn't seem to describe it as a raging fire, but more as this warmth that is even experienced as a kind of coolness or refreshment. But which those things that don't belong in us, that sin that dwells in us, that is really a foreign invader in our lives, it can't stand to be in the presence of that gentle warmth. And so little by little, gradually over time, as we persist in the ascetic effort, searching for that hidden treasure, gathering our mental reflective capacities on what it is that God is showing us about our inner life, little by little that mystery of the cross will be revealed within us. We'll find that our desires, our passions, are crucified to the world. No longer do we feel ourselves pulled to and fro, manipulated and controlled by the things of the world, by advertisements, by billboards, by worries, anxieties, by pandemics. We're now dead in the sense that those things of this world can no longer control us. They can no longer manipulate us. The only one that has a claim on us is Christ himself, him crucified, deep within us. This is what Paul meant when he said, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and offered himself up for me. That's what he meant when he said, I die daily. What he meant when he said that we carry about the dying of Jesus in our mortal bodies. It's a way of life that we come to experience this mystery of the cross buried deep within us. In this way we come to find out who we truly are as human beings. Not mere puppets in a kind of crazy and manipulative world, but free, rich, human beings communing with one another and communing with our Creator, rightly connected to the source of life, and then able to be free to receive all of the gifts of this world that God has given us, all of creation, be able to receive it and enjoy it and love it and appreciate it without looking to it for what it can't provide. This is the journey that we're on. This is the very core of our life. St. Gregory gives us these reflections to remind us that this is what it is to be a human being. This is what we were created for. It was available to every human being that's ever lived or ever will live, from the time of Adam and Eve until the return of our Lord. The cross can be found within each and every human heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.